You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
And keeping in mind with the outreach that we'd like to see at our church, we're going to have Joy Smith speak to us. Joy became a believer in Christ while attending the University of Arizona through Campus Crusade. She subsequently graduated from Golden Gate Seminary, becoming WNBA chaplain for the Phoenix Mercury for 7 years. She then was an International Mission Board missionary for 8 years, serving in Egypt, Sudan, Ethiopia, and Lebanon. She's currently in Tucson, working as an educator at TUSD and being a caretaker to her mother. She patiently waits in the hope that God will allow her to return overseas again to mission work. She's going to talk to us today about obedience.
Good morning. Sbahir, that means good morning in Arabic. There's any Arabic speakers in here. Let's go to the word. I'm going to read from Genesis 12, 1 through 8. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was there in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the obedience of Abram, who would become Abraham. What an amazing example for us, Lord, to drop everything and go where you call us to go. Lord, we desire to live a life of obedience to your call. I ask that you would guide us, guide this church to a life of obedience. Lay everything down, Lord, for you to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as Tricia said, I'm kind of nervous, by the way, so if the microphone starts shaking, ignore it. As Tricia said, I'm here to give a short look. Pastor Dallas said I had 2 hours, so my life overseas. Not just overseas, but just my life as a witness to Christ. In 2002, I was volunteering at an IMB service at my church. I'm from Phoenix, pretty much, and I used to go to North Phoenix Baptist Church. And there was a service there for commissioning missionaries. And so I went, I volunteered, and I was sitting in the pews, and all of a sudden, I'm sorry, I'm thirsty. all of a sudden, thank you. All of a sudden, these flags start marching in. They're flags from all over the world. And the flags were representing the different missionaries where they were placed around the world. And I just remember tearing up because it was just an amazing visual of how God is working around the world. And so I'm sitting there listening to the missionary stories and just thinking, that's so cool. And they gave a call and said, everybody stood up and they said, if there's anybody interested in hearing more about missions, or you feel that God might be leading you into this, come on down. And I can remember standing there. No way am I going down there. I will wait until after the service, and then I'll go down. And then the second time, I felt this little tug saying, go, go. And I was like, no, no way, I'm not gonna. And then the third time, I felt this tug, along with God putting on my heart joy. I have been doing all these things in your life. I want you to step out in faith. And I think I trampled over people to get out of that pew and go down. I applied with the IMB during that time, and I was denied. And I was devastated because I knew that God got me out of that pew. And I was like, there's no way. I even called the IMB and said, you're making a mistake. And they're like, okay, you're making a mistake. Well, in the middle of that devastation, God said, Joy, you want to go overseas and do what you're not doing here. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that was the beginning. A fire was ignited in me where I could not tell enough people about Jesus. So I was a teacher in Phoenix, and it was through my teaching that I had great opportunity to start ministry. One day, towards the end of the school year, I was called down to the principal's office. And I was sat down and told that I should probably look for another job. And I'm like, really, why? And I just kind of sat there and listened, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to get another job, and I don't know how to do that. And then this feeling came over me, and I just got up and I said, God will have me where he wants me. And I walked out of the office. A few weeks later, I got a phone call and asked if the following year I would teach an extra class and get $7,000 more that year at that school. Clearly, God wanted me there because kids were hearing the gospel. So at that time, I was prompted to apply to the IMB again, and I did not want to because I hate rejection, and I know we all do. But I was a coach for many years, and I don't take no for an answer, as Bob knows well. So I applied again, and my application flew through amazingly quick. And so at one point, I was quitting my job that I loved, where the ministry was so great. Marco Rubio. So I quit my job. I packed four suitcases. That's when I got four suitcases. And I headed over to Sudan, only I wasn't going to Sudan. There was a delay, and there were security issues, and I couldn't get into Sudan. So God dropped me down in Egypt, and that was where I began. Egypt was very, very dark for me. God stripped me like I've never been stripped before. I had come from ministries that were flourishing, and then God dropped me in Egypt where I didn't have a ministry at all. But that was when he really started to work on my heart. So after a year in Egypt, struggling to learn language, a door opened for me to go to Sudan. And so in a few days, I packed up again, and I was off to Sudan. And it was amazing how God had been preparing my time for Sudan. Because when I got there, I had a job at a university, and I was an administrator at a high school. It was amazing how God was stirring the hearts of the lost in the Sudanese. There were security issues and dangers in Sudan, and I was plucked out of Sudan at the peak of my ministry, and I was dropped in Ethiopia, and I was mad. I was like, God, how can you take me where things are going so good? How can you do that? And so for 4 months, I was begging God in Ethiopia for the next place it would happen. I did not know the language in Ethiopia, and so I couldn't talk to the people. And so once again, God was working on me, purifying me, sifting me for the next thing. There was a job that opened up in Lebanon with the Syrian refugees, and I called the leaders of the team and begged them if I could come. They said, we're leaving to go back home for a tour in 3 days. And I said, I'll be there in 2. So I packed up my bags and I went to Lebanon. I thought there was no way that God could do something as amazing in Lebanon as he had been doing in Sudan. But I was so wrong. I was partnered with two Syrian women. One was a refugee and the other one had been married to a Lebanese. And we don't have enough time to hear all of the things that God did through 3 ladies. But it was amazing. Then I had a choice to make after 3 years of ministry in Lebanon. And the choice was either stay here or stay in Lebanon and continue on with my ministry with the refugees, or return home and be the caretaker of my mom. You know which one I wanted to do, right? But God really worked on me. He brought me home a year and a half ago to honor my mother and him in the process and be her caretaker. I'm telling you, and I know many of you know, that caretaking is not glamorous. It's not fun. It's not exciting. But it has grown me more than all of the other ministries that I've been involved in. My mom's not a believer, so I intercede for her. And that's why God has me here. Lately, thank you to Pastor Dallas, I've been really praying, and Bob, I've been praying that God would give me ministry again here, outside of the ministry to my mom. And I'm an administrator in Tucson Unified, and I've been praying and praying. And this opportunity to share with you guys opened, and last week I was walking on campus, and this girl walked up to me, and she's like, Joy, do you know of any Bible studies around? I'm like, well, yeah, where do you live? And she said, way on the other side of town. I said, how about we start a Bible study here in school? And she said, yes. And Wednesday, we're going to have our first day of Bible study at school. Amen. God is so good. As we move through transitions here at Sabino Road, we have to remember to move with obedience. How do we know what obedience means in our individual lives? That's probably a question we ask. Well, we have to turn to the scripture. We have to look at the lives of the saints. Because obedience looks different for everyone. It's fluid in our lives and requires us to search the word diligently. I want to share a story of diligence with you. I was in Lebanon, and I had been blessed with the opportunity to develop a homeschool program for the Syrian refugees. And so we were in a tent doing homeschool, and this homeschool was growing, and we didn't know what to do. We had the different levels of knowledge, little kids and big kids, and so we had to kind of organize. So we had told them they needed to know the alphabet. They don't know their own language, so they had to know the Arabic alphabet before they could be involved in this part of the program. And so we would close the door and go in and start teaching. And one day, I was sitting on the floor looking around just how things were going, and I hear a knock on the door, and the little girl's like, "I want to come in! I want to come in! I want to learn!" I'm like, "No. We have enough in here. Please, I want to come in and I want to learn." We're like, "No, go away. This isn't your time right now. Go away." I know, heartless, right? But again, a knock on the door, "Please let me in." We're like, "You have to know your alphabet before you come in." So silence goes. And a few minutes later, I look over at the door and there's a little piece of paper sliding under the door. And so I go over to the door and I pick up the paper and I open it and it's the Arabic alphabet. And I'm laughing because it's clearly an adult's handwriting. "Please, I want to come in." "No, you don't know your alphabet. You gotta learn your alphabet before you can come in. Please, please, please." And it was this long, I promise you. And all of a sudden, I look over the door and there's a banana sliding on the door. Just seeing that banana slide under the door, do we want that? Do we want to know that bad? That little girl taught me so much about diligence. That's how we should be. We should be like that with the word. We should be like that knocking at doors. I just thank God for that little girl. Proverbs 19:21 reminds us that many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. May we seek the diligence like that little, seek diligently like that little girl did. What is God's will for the church? Well, we were made to walk with God and to have life because that's why we exist. As we walk with God in life, we grow in love. What you said this morning was like, perfect, God is amazing. We grow in love, and as we love God and our neighbor, we fulfill the greatest commandment. We have the gift of eternal life if we love God and our neighbor, we'll share that with them. It doesn't matter if you're here in Tucson or in Beirut, Lebanon. You do it where you are. Matthew 10:7, Jesus said to his disciples, "And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Let's just have a moment of prayer. I want to ask you guys to silently ask God, what do you want from me individually? And then I'll close this with prayer. may your spirit fall heavily on Sabina Road Church. Speak to the hearts of the individual here. Lord, if there are some that you are calling to go overseas, bring them forward, Lord. If there are some that need to stay right here, keep them here, Father. Lord, Abraham is a witness of obedience as he went, Lord, and as he had to lay down the most important thing on your altar, Lord, his son. God, we want to be like that. Help us. Lord, as Sabina Road transitions, may the heart for the lost overwhelm them greatly. Lay our wants and desires at your feet, Lord, so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Wow. Best sermon you guys have heard in a long time. Bringing two up so we don't have to share. Man, where do you go from there? Good job. Look at the verses that you have up there in Acts chapter 1. I know that you guys have seen that before. It's one of those great commandments. In fact, it's one of the last things that Jesus says to his disciples before he leaves. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be a disciple. We've done walk 101, 102, 103, 104. Today is going to be witness. And everyone relax. You've already heard the best sermon you're going to hear today. So I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and then we'll get into the sermon next week. If you have one of those handouts, grab it. If you have one of those, we're going to just walk through just a couple of principles, because you have some homework this week that you guys need to be doing in your daily walk, Monday through Saturday. And I just want to talk to you just for a couple of minutes about what it means to be a witness. Because what you just heard was someone who's being a witness. You're not extraordinary. You're extraordinary in Christ. And what you just said, the way that she has been able to move people in different ways, we all should be doing that. Y'all hear me? It's just obedience. And nothing special on her part except her obedience. Y'all with me? And so wherever God has placed you, and it may not be in a WNBA locker room or across the world on the mission field, but he's placed you here on the mission field. You're not extraordinary except your obedience with God, which makes you incredibly used of God. Y'all with me? Now, when they had come together, they asked him repeatedly, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom or reestablish the kingdom? Restore it to Israel. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs. To love this when we use modern words in scripture. Epochs. Which the Father has fixed on his own authority. Next verse. But you'll receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses to tell people about me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. Now we're going to unpack this next week. Your homework this week is to take the sheets that you have, the sermon notes for next week, and work them through your daily time, Monday through Saturday this week. I want you to think of a couple of things. As Jesus is getting ready to leave this earth, he gathers his little flock together and he says, I'm leaving. And did you notice what the disciples said? Go back to the previous verse. What did the disciples say? Hey, are you about to restore the kingdom? Are we about to be in charge again? Are you going to wipe out all the bad guys? And are we going to have our kingdom set up? Wow! After being with Jesus for so long, seeing him crucified, the disciples are still thinking, is now the time that we get power? We can kick all the bad guys out, those Romans, and we take back over? And I want you to understand the last thing that Jesus says is this. No, your purpose is to tell people about me. Next verse. You're going to receive power and ability. Power and ability. By the way, that power could be in a capital P. That's godly power, incredible power. The A, an ability, a capital A. Why does Joy, why is she able to do this stuff? Because she's obedient. Why did David defeat Goliath? Because he was obedient. Was he sharp with the stones? Well, yeah, but not enough to kill Goliath. Y'all with me? When God calls you to do something, it doesn't matter where it is, it doesn't matter how small it is. The task at hand doesn't equate to God's greatness. Your obedience saying, yes, Lord, now you can do something. Or you can say, no, I don't want to. I want you to notice a couple things about that verse. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, who is in charge of the Holy Spirit coming upon you? You are. I am. Joy is. When God started to knock, thanks for that. When God started to knock on her heart, he's saying, I have a job to do. I would like to use you. Are you open to that? And she gets to say, yes, come on in. Yes, I'm willing to do that. Yes, I'll lay down whatever I want to do, and I'll do what you want to do. Or, you know, now's not a good time, Lord. I got a lot of things to do. I've got my own ideas. You know, a lot of times we carry God's love and acceptance kind of like Jonah. We don't really want to do it. And we begrudgingly do things and we're not happy. Someone once said Christians are the most unhappy people in the world. Not looking at us today. Everyone smile. Guys, we have to tune into the Lord and what he wants us to do each and every day. Don't get your own ideas. Just lay yourself on the altar and say, yes, Lord, whatever you want today. Final thing I want to show you this morning. We'll be done. Do you see the four areas, the four places? All right, what are they? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then the rest of the world, right? Now, there's all sorts of ways that you can take this. I don't know if he's really meaning you have geographical places. If he is meaning geographical places, where does he start? Well, here. He might as well say, I don't even know if he'd say Tucson. He might say your neighborhood. And then for Judea, what is that? The city of Tucson, maybe? And then so forth and so on. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
It could be something else. Could be people groups. Because who is he talking to right now? He's talking to disciples. These disciples, for the most part, they're Jews. Jerusalem is full of
Jews.
Jerusalem is the holy city. So when he says, be disciples or be witnesses of me to Jerusalem, they're all going, yeah, that's us. These are my boys. I really look cool to the youngsters just there, didn't I? To my boys. To to those who look like me, smell like me. Why are you laughing so hard? Back in college, I was a disc jockey. Big Daddy, Disco Daddy. You guys want to hear some of that? We're going to bump, jump, drive, and throttle. Okay, so Jerusalem, those are my people. It is not hard to reach out to my people. They're not going to hurt me if they don't like it. They're going to go, eh. What's the next thing? Judea? There's some other people in Judea. They're still a little bit like me. Now, they may not be from the same clan, from the same family. They might be on the, are you guys ready for this? On the other side of the tracks. Still okay. They're still Arizonans. They're still Texans. Samaria. We don't like Samaritans. Samaritans aren't like us. Samaritans aren't like us at all. When we see a Samaritan, we walk on the other side of the road. Y'all with me? To the ends of the earth, we don't even know who's out there. Oh, we see the TV, we hear stories about the ends of the earth, but we really don't grasp it. Some of you have been on a mission trip, and you've smelled the smells and felt that dirt, and you've seen the oppression and so forth, and yet you do get to come back home. I want you to think of your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, the utter ends of the earth, not in geographical points. That could be true. But also in people that you may or may not want to share the gospel with. Isn't that crazy that a pastor just said that? But you guys know it's true. There are times you just don't want to share with this person. And yet, why is the Spirit tugging on you at that moment to share? And you will never be used more of God when you lay yourself on the altar and say, I don't want to do it, but I'll trust you. I will do whatever you want. Y'all with me? This week, look for those in back order. Look for the ends of the earth. Look for the Samaritans. Look for the Judeans. Look for those in Jerusalem. Don't go in the other direction. You seek out anyone that God puts in front of your path. As always, I'm talking to myself right now. I'm looking now for God to give me someone that is not on my radar. Y'all understand that, right? I'm going to look for someone that I don't expect. I don't see. I'm not prepared to share. I'm looking for someone that makes me say, yes, Lord. I had other plans. I had other ideas. I was going to do something else. But yes, Lord, let me lay whatever else I got down, and I'll trust you today. I'll do this. Final thing. I don't know what to say when I witness to someone. Tell them what you read this morning in the Scriptures. Tell them what you read this morning in the Scriptures. I do believe that God will lead you to whatever He wants to share with someone else. He'll lead you to that in your own life. Now, there's a preemptive there, isn't it? You got to read. You got to be with the Lord. So start your day off with a great relationship with God tomorrow. And do that ACTS acronym. We still have some cards back there, the ACTS acronym. Do that tomorrow. And then look to see what God has for you. How's that sound? Good. Next week, we will be looking through the rest of this witnessing part. And to let you know, we will be starting off the service asking for short testimonies of how God's led you this week in witnessing. Okay? Does that sound good? Everyone of one accord? Awesome. Before we get to our hymn of invitation, I was reading this morning in a book, and to tell us something, I was reading this morning, and it's a book on a successful mind. It's called "It's an Athlete's Mind," and it's a lot of psychology and so forth. And as the guy's getting deeper and deeper into this book, you can tell he's getting deeper and deeper into the soul, and I'm waiting to see him. He's not the raw type. He's getting deep, waiting to see what he thinks of God and where that's going to come in. And I think I mentioned to you guys this morning, after my devotions, I'm reading a chapter of this book, and it gets to the point where he talks about a couple of athletes who pray this prayer, and then he wouldn't have the prayer in the text. He said Richard Nierberg, a great theologian, has this prayer. It's available online. Kind of look it up, kind of a thing. Now, he's quoting all sorts of people in this book. And then he mentioned a gal, the only athlete who ever competed in three different events in three different Olympics. She was a swimmer in one, a pentathlon in another, and a triathlon in a third. And she said that when she gets pressured and so forth, and he's got this in his book, she'll pray through the Ephesians 6 prayer, or the commandment, which we've read before. And then he won't list it. It's almost like, there it is, and I'm off on it. I want you to know that the biggest reason none of us like to witness, the biggest reason why when God says, would you go and talk to someone else, we are not prepared to do so. And I want to prepare us for the battle now. It is a battle. At some point, you're going to want to do something. God's going to lead you to do something. You're going to say, uh-uh. And you're going to make that decision. I want you to prepare for this. So I want you to bow your heads. I'm just going to read slowly this prayer. It's directly from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. You heard it already. But I want you to, as I'm reading it, keep your eyes closed. Don't look around. I want you to feel what it feels like as I'm reading this, as you're putting things on. Okay? I want you to smell what that armor smells like. I want you to feel the sword in your hand. I want you to go there and think of what God is doing to you as He prepares you for battle. Bow your heads. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him and in the power of His boundless might. Put on the whole armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand against all the schemes and strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger, having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand in your place firmly, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, of personal integrity and moral courage, around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, of an upright heart, having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace, in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. And above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of that evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, and in every season of the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. Father, thank you so much for this viewpoint, this picture of defensive and offensive weaponry. You will protect us from the evil one, but you also want us to advance as well. Father, we are nothing without you, so we understand that trying to put these things on without your power is meaningless, it's worthless. Thank you, Lord, that as we put on the breastplate, as we put on the helmet, as we shod our feet with your word, it is only then that we have supernatural power. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.